the recording. And so for those of you who are listening to this not live, this is Friday, September 27th at 12 p.m. Eastern, Parent Success System call. And this week we're talking about taking aim. And right now everyone is going around and checking in and celebrating. So far, let's see, touch base with Rosemary and Jane and Corey. And who else is out there, Melanie?
Yes. I've got a lot to celebrate. I mean, we keep having bumps, but let's see. Ritalin is going well. We've identified and solved two problems with the school. So we've got a wobble stool that is hers alone, and a plan for her to be able to go and spend, if there's a substitute teacher, for her to leave the room and spend the day with, or the hour, with another teacher who has her regular class, so that it's not chaotic like her class got the other day with a substitute.
Yeah.
And I'm just really celebrating that we're able to collaborate, and we only, you know, and we got through a really awful day on Wednesday where she was just stressed out to the max, and I had to ask her to go along with one more stressful thing. And it, like, she just got to the point that she couldn't, and it took us an hour to get from the door of the last stop to driving home in the car, but we did it with only obstinacy, I won't, I can't, and a little bit of hitting. We didn't have the full screaming, making a scene, running into traffic,
kinder, gentler meltdown.
It was a kinder, gentler meltdown. It was just a time-consuming. But we eventually got her into the car and home, and no harm done to anyone. So,
good.
And on an extraordinarily stressful day. So I'm calling that one
awesome.
A win.
That's a huge win, without a doubt. Fabulous. Thank you.
And just for our new person, I have a 9-year-old fourth grader with ADHD, anxiety. We are on the waiting list to get her assessed for autism. And she could have had an ODD diagnosis anytime we wanted to ask for it in the last 5 years. We've just had kind clinicians who don't go for that label.
Yes, very, very, very common. And thank you for throwing that in. Maria, you're here.
Yes. Hi. Good morning. Or good afternoon.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Depending on your place in the world. Good. Thanks. You want to check in and celebrate?
Yes. So, celebrations. This is Maria. I have a 13-year-old with ADHD, and she is, I want to say she's doing really well in school. She's got a lot of pressure on her, but she's doing very well with her grades and trying to keep up on things. And she's really upped her game this year as far as taking responsibility for her homework and studying for tests and getting things done. And so I just want to celebrate that today.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much. Let's go back around real quick, because I know not everybody joined kind of at different times, and I just want to make sure everybody knows who's on the call. Okay, so Melanie, we heard from you. We heard from you, Maria. Jane, just, you want to tell us a little bit about the child that brought you to us and where you are in the world? And then Rosemary, I'll have you go again too, if that's okay.
I would love to. I started this program probably close to 2 years ago, and it has helped tremendously with my son, who was probably in 10th grade, and now he's graduated from high school. He's 19.
Yay!
And has a lot of bumps in the road. He diagnosed with ADHD, and at one point in his journey, major depression, but not anymore. But anyway, this program has been like a lifesaver for our family. So he's 19
now.
You
didn't tell that. But, thank you.
nice
to hear.
19 now. Just to let people know that when they're even older, I don't know how many people have older kids on the line, but that, mm-hmm. you know, it really is helpful to get the guidance along the way.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing that. I appreciate it. Well, we're glad you're here. And I think it's great that you mentioned that you've been with the program for a couple of years, because that is not uncommon. The program, you know, is initially a year round, but we have lots and lots of parents who stay with us for 2, 3, 4 years because, you know, things change.
Things change.
And things maybe go going well for a while. And it's And it's great to, you know, it's kind of like, I just say it's like marriage counseling sort of. Sometimes it's good to go when you don't hate your partner or spouse so that you can have those moments of when, you know, when you're in trouble, you've got lots of other tools that you can rely on because you've worked during the good times to build up that toolbox. So thank you for sharing that. That's awesome. Let's see. Rosemary, you want to check back in again? Just kind of tell us again where you are in the world and about the child that brought you to us a little bit.
Sure, absolutely. So my name is Rosie, and I live in Nelson, British Columbia in Canada. And so we're 3 hours behind you. And I live in the mountains, and I have got three kids, two of whom have got ADHD, a 22-year-old, and I've got a 17-year-old, which is the one who brings me to the program. She's a female a girl, 17 years old. She has ADHD. And I think a significant learning disability and difficulty reading and all the other things that the other families are dealing with. And gone through major depression. I think she's got social anxiety now. But I've got lots to celebrate. And I'm sorry, I got a bit off track at the beginning.
No, you're good.
I got lots to celebrate. I've done, I particularly have done a lot on medication and just to keep things brief, we actually took her off ADHD meds, and I think the ADHD meds were making her more explosive. So since taking her off the ADHD meds, we've kind of got our kid back and then we've been using Accentrate, and now I've just started her on an antidepressant and I think it's working. So that's where we're
at.
Yeah, that's where we're
at.
And I've been doing lots of background work, getting supports in place.
Yay. Awesome. Thank you for that. I appreciate that. Wonderful. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. We are going to talk today about taking AIM. And were you able, Corey, to get a hold of the handbook, the workbook, and get all the information that you needed? Obviously, you went here, so you got the phone number. Okay. sorry, hang on one second. I was crawling my throat. Okay, better. So just so you know, I mean, it's great if you have the time to read through that before the call, but you don't have to. We just want you to come if you can, and don't worry about having it in front of you while we're doing the call. You know, like I said, it's mostly supportive information, and we end up kind of covering quite a bit of it. We don't necessarily read from it, but don't feel like you have to do your homework or anything before you get here. Also, we anticipate that anyone who joins the PSS makes it to about maybe 60 to 75% of the calls in person. The remaining, you know, 40%, 30 to 40%, usually listen to the recordings, and that's totally fine because life gets in the way. So don't feel like you absolutely have to be here every time we have a session. It's great if you can be, but you don't have to be. And if for some reason this session doesn't work for you, you know, if it's every week or if it's, you know, one time, whatever, just dial into one that does. I mean, you can join any call at any time. We just like to have a good idea of how many people are going to be on which call so we can kind of staff it that way. But you don't have to always come into this call, although I'll say it is kind of fun to get to know everybody in the group. But, you know, Elaine and Diane are awesome coaches, and sometimes it's helpful to get, you know, varying perspectives and check us all out and just kind of do with whatever works with your schedule. So the last thing we want to do is create a situation where you're feeling pressure to be somewhere at a certain time, and this is getting in the way because we're here to support you. So I always like to make sure that you know that. And again, and I tell you guys a lot that you guys are the good parents, right? And I want to applaud all of you for taking the step to be a part of this program and to continue the research for your kids, for your families, for your homes, because you make the difference, right? I mean, everything shows that that one charismatic adult makes all the difference for our kids. So thank you for being the incredible parents that your kids need and for being here today. All right, take a name. So we're taking aim on taking aim today, which is kind of an interesting thing to look at. As part of our parenting action model or parent action plan, taking aim is the first part. You know, so we take aim on the change that we want to see. And the change that we want to see can be anything. And it, to some extent, I feel like it's big. It can be huge. So taking aim, even though the intent is to get very specific and kind of drill down on specifically what we want to be looking at or what change we want to see, it can be anything. So there's this giant pool to draw from. We have some parents who choose to take aim on the same thing for like an entire year, and that's totally fine. We have some parents who change, you know, every week. It can have something to do with the topic of the week. It can have nothing to do with the topic of the week. It can have something to do with how you're feeling about your pet or about your, you know, whatever it is that's top of mind for you. It's probably going to be what you're going to want to take aim on. And so I'm going to ask Melanie to go first in taking aim, and then we'll go around, and that way Corey can kind of hear how we work through it. Make sense? So Melanie, whenever you're ready, let's take aim.
All right. So I'm taking aim a little bit more systematically. I've gone nerdy on this. And
go for it.
So I've been recently doing a deep dive into Ross Green's materials. Specifically, I've been listening to all of his podcasts in order to get a little more deep on his collaborative problem solving. And he's got a great framework for making your list of things you could possibly take aim on and discussing
yeah.
that with spouse.
For sure.
And so the one that we're really working on, I think, right now globally is Margaret's difficulty in, like, just dealing with when she can't have me.
Right. Like,
she wants me there to be the person who regulates her and solves her problems, and she tends to get distressed when I leave, need to leave, contemplate leaving for, in this case, I'm coming up on a 2-day workshop next week that I will be leaving on Thursday and returning on Friday, and that is going to be a hard thing for Margaret to cope with. So I want to take
gotcha.
Aim on working with Margaret on things that she can do to cope when I leave.
Okay. So that feels like we're taking aim on a strategy, right? So
I'm not necessarily on a strategy, because the strategies are going to be coming out of the conversation with Margaret about what is the problem really when I leave, not just, you know, see if we can get more specific than mommy's not there and I don't like that. So I'm trying to you know, so what really becomes a problem when I'm not here, and how can we look at the things that that when I'm not here that she can do.
Gotcha.
And I see
okay.
it as kind of a series of conversations, because she finds contemplating my absence in and of itself challenging.
Okay. So then the goal, I guess, or the change you want to see is her being able to think about you being away without being upset, or when you are gone, find ways to help her have that conversation when she's starting to get upset. Is that, am I getting close to it?
What I'm taking aim on is having a series of conversations where I bring up with Margaret, so what's getting in your way when I leave? And how can we work on the things that are getting in your way?
Okay.
So it's that getting curious with Margaret about what's going on for her, so that instead of just having this mommy don't leave, that we can sort of break it into, so when Margaret wants mommy to do X and she's not available, what can Margaret do instead?
Okay.
And I don't know that we're going to solve all of them, but that we kind of
oh, yeah.
every time we get one more little bit of the piece of the puzzle into play, wow.
Oh, yeah. It makes for a better conversation, for sure. Yeah, definitely. So the reason that I pushed a little bit on that, as you know, is that mm-hmm. we try not to take aim, and thank you for clarifying so that I understand where you're coming from now, because the whole, if we take aim on a strategy, and that's not what you were doing, that's why I asked that question, but if we take aim on a strategy, then we're not really getting to the heart of what's going on, and I'm just saying this for the benefit of the group, right? So we can take aim on strategies, and we can create strategies all day long, but if it's the wrong strategy, or if we don't really know what's going on underneath, then it's not going to work, and we're going to get frustrated. So that's why during the take aim process, we try to try to get specific and try to make sure that we're focusing on or targeting something that we can change, right? Or to help them get to the next level, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So okay.
I guess
who
another way of
this?
Putting it, okay. I want to take aim on finding times to have a series of conversations with Margaret so she can develop more strategies to cope with me being gone. Not that we're going to totally nail this, because it's going to be an iterative process.
Okay. So the finding the times part is an action step. So let's just focus on on having the conversations. Got it.
Mm-hmm.
Jane, you want to go next?
You were going to pick me next. I was trying to think. Okay. Because taking aim is really difficult for me to take aim all along. And so anyway, I'm trying to
think. Yeah, that's okay, though.
And the follow through is that is the hardest part. It's I say it on the phone, and then, then that disappears. It's okay.
But that's okay, because I think that's a good point, because, and I'm glad you brought that up, because in my call last night, we were talking about holding each other accountable and what's going to happen, when we get back on the phone in a week or 2 weeks, and whatever we, decided was our action step, if we didn't follow through with that, what does that mean? And it doesn't necessarily mean anything, right? I mean, the last thing we want to do is create a situation where you have something else to make yourself feel guilty about, right? So if you don't follow through on the action steps, that's okay, because believe it or not, change is still happening. Mm-hmm. The dynamic changes even if one little tiny piece changes. And so just by the fact of acknowledging that there is a possible action step, even if you don't take the action step, that's shifting the dynamic in your relationships at home and the way that your home environment is functioning. So please, please, please don't hang on to that as something that you feel bad about. Okay? No,
well,
not at all.
Yeah.
I mean, failing forward, maybe. If we can throw into a positive light.
Well, I didn't really know about, I know about action steps, but I didn't know about tying that to when, I ran the water. So I didn't know about tying that to when we take aim is to immediately think of an action step or write
it down. Oh, no, sorry. No, you don't have to do that that way. I thought you were talking about follow-up calls after you take aim, but forget it. Just I went a different direction with that entirely. I'm sorry.
That's okay. No, I just – okay, so taking aim, so I'll practice with it right now. I'm trying to think. The issues that are going on is he's graduated from high school, and now I want him to start looking for a job. And he's not too motivated because he has a little part-time lawn mowing with my brother-in-law. And so he continues to sleep all day long and then is awake all night long, and that's what he likes.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't have enough money to pay for anything but his he gets $75, so he's paying for his pleasures, which are not so good. Vaping, Xbox and video games, and going out with his friends, putting gas in his truck. So he's living the good life. I mean, to him, this is great. But I'm thinking to get more independent, more mature, you should look for a job. But like Diane and Elaine say, whose agenda is that? It's my agenda. You need to get a resume together, get a job, move forward with your life. And
right.
I think he's kind of happy with the way things are going now, but I'm thinking, well, you have to start paying for your phone bill and pay for the car insurance and the phone bill.
Sure.
And so he says, yeah, I know, but when job fairs come up and when all these things, resume. He's just like not, you have to have a kid that's motivated to do what they're supposed to do or what you want them to do. And if they don't have that buy-in, then they're not going to perform. So they're where we are right now, and I don't know how to take aim on what change I want to see.
The change you want to see is that you want your son to be motivated to do the next level or to get to the next level or take the next step or to change where he's at.
Yeah.
Be that, get a, you know, go to a job fair, get a resume together. So I'm going to encourage you to think about really what it is that you want to see from him. And you don't have to say it out loud right now, but just think what that looks like. Is it the excitement around something different, getting a new job, getting a full-time job, going to college, whatever that looks like? Or is it the action step? And does one need to come first? Or does it matter? So just think about that.
It's the mindset. Yeah.
Mindset. Okay.
Yeah.
How realistic is it that you'll be able to change his mindset about something?
I can't. That's okay. Where we're stuck. Where I'm stuck.
Okay. So what's the game on that?
Okay.
Is that all right?
What was it? I'm not sure what it was.
So taking aim on helping you feel not stuck.
Oh, okay.
Taking aim on getting you unstuck, I guess.
Okay. I like that.
Sometimes it's about how we feel about, you know, it's always at the end of the day about us, right? Taking care of where we are, because we can't be positive parents if we're not taking care of ourselves and if we're not really clear on what our own kind of gremlins are that might be getting in the way. All right. I'm hearing some background noise. So if I mute you by accident, I apologize. All right. Rosie, you want to go?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. I think my phone, there's other background, a lot of background noise on my phone is really strange.
Interesting.
Oh, it's
okay
now?
I can mute everybody but you. Is it okay now?
You know what? My phone is about to die. I'm just going to phone in on another phone. If you want to go with someone
we'll
else.
All right, talk to you in a little bit. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
All right. Maria, would you like to go?
Yeah. Sure. So I would like to take aim on collaborating with my daughter to find ways to help her see the value of sleeping more. And so she has a long day at school, and then she comes home, she has homework, and then she typically is going to her dance classes, and then she'll come home, do more homework, and then she's on the phone in between time, either texting friends or talking to them or whatever, having a little bit of a social life, because that's the way she gets it, with her school friends and everything. So I want her to have that. I want her to have a balance. But she winds up getting to bed very late at night, upwards of midnight, sometimes a little late. It's a regular occurrence. She's exhausted. I'm the one that has to wake up in the morning in order to get her up and get her meds and get her, make sure she's awake. You know, I could sleep for an extra 30 minutes or do other things if I wasn't having to go through a routine, with her getting up. Now, with that said, she is getting better at getting up, but she's exhausted. And she would just be calmer, do better in school with more ease if she had more rest. So I need buy-in from her. And my dog is bothering me right now, so excuse me if I'm she said, oh, my gosh, she's sitting down. She never sits down, Let me try and sit in her lap, So,
yeah, exactly.
So anyway, so I was having a conversation with her the other day about, hey, don't you think X, Y, and Z would go better if you got more sleep? She goes, no, I feel the same way all the time. Doesn't matter if I sleep more or less. So I said, well, look,
more research is needed.
A very long time to go to bed from the time you finish homework to the time that you get into bed. Her routine can be long. And there's definitely some piddling going on there. And she needs the decompression time. I get it. But it's just that when it's that late, it brings anxiety to me. I know she also has anxiety. So I'm just trying to, I'd like to see her figuring out ways. So I was wondering, you know, like if I wrote everything down, like this is what your bedtime routine is, and can we time yourself on how long you think it takes you versus how long it really takes? I mean, is that kind of being too much in her business or, and I'm getting off on track here.
No, not at all. It's a great idea, right? It'd be wonderful to get more data or more information because it sounds like we're not really sure kind of if the problem is that she's not able to fall asleep or that she's purposely staying up on her phone and can't sleep
not at all. When she typically, not all the time, every once in a while, I'll check in with her and I'll go, dude, you're on your phone. You know, why are you on your phone?
Yeah.
And she goes, oh, I forgot to set my alarm. And she will set a series of alarms. She's gotten herself in the habit of setting alarms in the morning for herself, which I think is great because I didn't suggest it to her. It's just something that she started doing on her own because she sees me setting, you know, alarms and, you know, reminders for things. So, so I think it's great, but it's just like getting to bed. She's not up on her phone when she's not supposed to be. When she shuts it off, it is 99.9% of the time off. No, she falls asleep. It's getting her into the bed so that she can fall asleep. So I guess it's between homework and bed, like finishing up homework and getting to bed.
Okay.
Because there may or may not be a shower in there. She's gotten better on her showers, but I'm still trying to dial back the time. And you know, and help her out.
So I'm hearing several things in there. Sorry.
Yeah.
I want to make sure we get around to
shut
everybody.
Up and stop because I can,
I'm not going to tell you to shut up and stop. I'm just making you sound mean.
I know you're not. You're too kind, but.
No, I was just going to say, you know, I'm hearing there's a lot caught up in this. I can tell that it's causing you a lot of stress, right? And, you know, and some of it is your anxiety and some of it is your concern about her anxiety and there's just a lot there. And so, I think there's plenty to work with for sure. I think we need to get a little more specific and maybe it's just a matter of kind of thinking about it, about is it more about your concerns? Are you catastrophizing a little bit? Like if she doesn't get to sleep, X, Y, Z is going to happen. And then this is going to happen and that's going to happen. Is it about, Rosie and I were talking about the beginning of the call about how sometimes we're just like, oh, I have to take my kid to school again. Or, you know, we're still kind of in the routine, the parenting routine. And is it just, I need a break?
It's about her. She just does better when she has more rest. And that's something that I see. And her grades reflect. Her attitude will reflect. Her ability to be calm will reflect that. And they say that sleep and people with ADHD, if you don't get it, you're just more on edge. Life goes smoother when you get more rest.
Definitely. And 95% of us have trouble sleeping, just so you know. So it's that whole catch-22.
So I'm just, I'd like to take aim on her to sleep. I guess that's the macro thing, but the micro
is that's okay.
Getting her streamlined so she, getting her to want to get into bed. To go to sleep.
Okay.
Is that
we can
maybe I don't know.
Oh yeah,
or just
no. That's good. Really anything in there is good. There's a lot, right? I think there's more like some detective work that we need to do in there too. So I think that's a perfect way to approach it. And I think that as we go through the call, we'll be able to get a little bit clearer on it, and hopefully something will pop up. Rosie, you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Did you make it back in? Go for it.
Okay, so I think I'm wanting to take aim on either collaborating on her to-do list or for her to be able to write her own list of what she's going to do with her day. So so basically, as I mentioned, I mean, we have a list every day. We have a list every day, and we're all doing our list of what's on for the day. And now that she's not in school, right? I mean, she's got a tutor in the afternoon. What I'm wanting to do is help her create some structure in her day where she's balancing non-stressful activities with stressful activities. Like, it's probably a good thing that she's out of high school because it was terribly stressful on her, and academically it's too much. So now she's just kind of edging along with one course with a tutor, which so she has like 2 hours in the afternoon. But what the heck do I do with her morning? There's not enough external structure. And she'll say, I'm going to do my laundry. And it's like, no, you're not doing your laundry on a weekday. You got the whole weekend to do that. So it's trying to, pretty much what happens is I create the list. So I think what I'm taking aim on is I'm going to take aim on me being quiet enough so that she can, me being quiet, holding back enough for long enough so that she can put one thing on her list.
One thing.
That's what I'm thinking.
Okay.
What ends up happening is she says, I don't know, or she comes up with, you know, laundry, and then I launch in with, well, you got to do this and blah, 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 and you got to do that. And then I'm the one creating the list, and I'm really wanting to hand over the baton so that she's taking a little bit more ownership.
Okay. But let me ask you this. If she puts laundry on the list, are you going to let her do laundry?
Probably I'm thinking, you know, maybe, but the challenge is like today, for example, she's actually got homework to do and that didn't even come up on the list. So it's like helping her to prioritize what needs to be done with what she wants to do.
Okay. And do you feel like she has a good idea of what needs to be done? Because I'm wondering if there's some confusion on her part about what should be, you know, what you think needs to be on the list, or what entails a list that's going to be successful or include all the things that need to get done. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
I agree.
I'm wondering if
she
thinks that homework is just a given. Maybe homework doesn't need to go on the list because you just do it. I don't put it on the list to do. I'm just thinking of things that could be possibly going on in her mind.
Yeah, no, I think she probably, well, also this is new, right? So we're now, you know, this is brand new this week that school she's chosen to leave school. So we're now in transition. And I'm in transition too, because I'm rapidly thinking what's meaningful for her day, because the challenge for this kid is she's not academic, and she's tried so hard, and her brain really doesn't work that well in that way. So really what we're transitioning into is we're kind of giving up the idea of, okay, you're graduating on time, and now we're moving into, you know, you're going to graduate maybe at some point, and what else are you going to do with your day? So maybe beginning to get her to volunteer, or beginning to get to do a job. But I have to go to work. Like, I need to come up with a plan pretty quickly.
I get it. So it's partly, I mean, you know, it's kind of 50-50 here, right? It's so that you know she has a plan, and so that she knows she has a plan, right? I get it. Okay, perfect. All right, Corey, that was a lot. Usually we don't spend this much time taking aim, but since the topic today is taking aim, it's actually working out great. So do you want to go ahead and give it a shot?
Sure. You know, I'm thinking that the first thing I really want to take aim on with Amelia is to kind of manage her reaction to disappointment. Because for me, the biggest problem right now is that she lashes out physically when she's upset or disappointed about something. So, you know, if she's not getting her way, if, you know, her brother isn't, you know, doing what she wants him to do, if they're playing a game or something, you know, she, her default is to just hit or throw things. So for me, that is, you know, the thing that needs to change immediately or as soon as we possibly can, because it's a safety issue.
For sure.
And so, you know, trying to figure out how to approach that as far as taking aim. I mean, that is what I want to focus on, but
that's a big one. Yeah, sure.
Strategy is where I need to start.
I get it. And sometimes I think it's about, and I know it sounds vague and it gets frustrating. I get that. But it's about taking aim on getting more information, right? And that's enough sometimes, you know, like, and I'm going to ask you some questions and they may seem simple and it maybe are, but it helps us kind of figure out what's going on. And so does it happen at the same time every day? Is it the same situation? Is it always over video games? Is it just any time of day, any scenario where she doesn't get her way? Is it only with her brother? Are there any specifics in there that seem to be constants?
It is often with her brother, but it's also with me. I say it tends to happen the most at sort of those stress points in the day. So, like, in the morning when we're trying to get out of the house, late in the afternoon when we're coming back in from school and maybe transitioning, getting ready to do sort of after-school activities. So I feel like it's most likely to happen at those points. It can happen at any time during the day, but definitely when we're in that stress mode, you know, stressful transition mode, it's much more likely to happen.
Yeah. Well, that's actually great, actually, believe it or not, because those are kind of quote unquote the normal times for ADHD kids to fall apart or kids with complex issues to fall apart. And there's lots we can do in terms of trigger management and identifying triggers and, you know, protein-based snacks and, you know, running around the house, making things a game. There's all kinds of different strategies that we can use in that specific scenario. But I will say this, and no matter how old our kids are, and while, I mean, lashing out physically is a deal breaker, right? I mean, it's a full stop regardless. Now, a 5-year-old lashing out physically is not the same as a 15-year-old lashing out physically. So certainly there's variations on that theme, but it still is a full stop. So, you know, we do everything within our power to help all of the parents that we work with find a way to make sure that their kids know and understand that we do not allow you to hit yourself, to hit other people, to smash our things against other people or against the walls, any of that. And so you and I can talk a little bit more offline if you want about some different strategies, but it is never okay for your kid to hit you. It's never okay for your kid to hit their sibling. It does happen. Okay. It does happen. And I'll be the first to tell you that we've had our 15-year-old when he was eight or seven, took a lacrosse stick when I was pregnant with my fifth kid and smashed the light fixture in his room so violently, I almost called the police because I didn't know what else to do. So I will tell you that we've been there and I'm sure that I hope it hasn't happened at that level at your home, but there are definitely times where you're like, oh my gosh, that is scary town. So, it's a deal breaker all around, but we will absolutely figure out some ways to help you work through that. And mostly a lot of it has to do with us as parents figuring out where those triggers are and helping our kids before they get to that point, you know, putting a safety plan in place. Sometimes it's the code word. I know these are all strategies, but there's lots of things we can do with physical violence in order to stop it from happening, or at least decrease the frequency until they can slowly make it a full stop.
Yep.
Cool. All right. That's everybody taking aim. Sweet. And it's a quarter till. Okay. That's awesome. All right. So taking aim, I mean, this has been a perfect example of how taking aim is really important, so that we really identify what the issue is, so we're not just focused on like on a solution or a strategy. Sometimes I think it's eye-opening to realize that we think we're taking aim on something for our kid, and in reality, we're taking aim on our ability as parents to manage or handle or not react to something that's going on. You know, maybe it's an expectation that we had that we didn't realize was unrealistic until we were kind of right in the face of it. Or, you know, maybe it's just that we get triggered. I mean, there's still times when I get triggered, you know, you just, it drives me crazy to see my kid playing Minecraft for 4 hours when it's a beautiful day outside. I hate that. And that's my own personal trigger. It really has nothing to do with him playing Minecraft. It has everything to do with me thinking that that is not a healthy way for him to spend his time. And so the minute that I can take aim on what the real problem is or what the real challenge is, then it makes it so much easier for me to find a solution to that, because all I have to change is me. Now, those are the easy situations, right? Because changing ourselves is, well, it's not easy, but it's a lot easier than trying to change our kids or other people. So thought I'd throw that out there. Okay, so since we only have like 15 minutes left, and there's really not, I feel like taking aim once we've talked about it, it's pretty straightforward. But you guys tell me, is there anything about taking aim or the challenges around taking aim that feel unclear or that you want to expand on? Or is there like a scenario where you realize that you really had to take aim or get really specific on a topic or a challenge? Maybe it's something at work or school where that was really helpful that you want to talk about?
I would like to. This is Jane.
Yeah.
Okay. Because, you know, we say, okay, I like the fact that you suggested about me taking aim on not, the change I want to say is to not be stuck. So I say that, but then after we hang up the phone, and then what am I supposed to do the rest of the 2 weeks or whenever? I always don't know what to do next.
Gotcha.
To make myself follow. I mean, so I never got the point of taking aim if I'm not doing anything about it.
Gotcha.
I kind of just said, okay, I'm taking aim on this, and then what? You know, that's my issue.
I get it. I totally get it. And I think that's an excellent point, because it does sometimes feel like, and how do I put this? I used to really try hard for all of the coaching calls that I was in to have them all be like little TV shows, right? Where by the end of the TV show, everybody had this great moment and there was beautiful music in the background and we all had these, you know, epiphanies, and we charged forward to save our lives and our kids' lives and, you know, all the problems of the world. And and we all, you know, and we wrap it all up with a bow, and it's this beautiful thing. And unfortunately, it doesn't really work that way. And life doesn't really work that way either. And so, you know, sometimes the taking aim doesn't necessarily lend itself towards a solution. It'd be unusual for that to happen within a call, let's say. But so at the end of each call, we talk about action steps, right? We talk about what action step you're willing to take and how you can set yourself up for success with the action. Sometimes that is related to what you took aim on. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's related to the topic. And I know that sounds amorphous and like, what's the point? But the point is that, you know, just by thinking about what really is going on or thinking about getting more information about a specific problem, that is an action step in a way, because your brain is shifting just a little bit to take in the possibility of something else going on. And so it may not feel like this big aha or this big, you know, I have a plan, a path. And sometimes that does happen. But
I kind of like want to do step 1, 2, and 3 and there we go.
Yeah. I get it. And we can work more on step 1, 2, and 3 if you find it. That's helpful. But just like we were saying with the other stuff, you know, we can do step 1, 2, and 3, but if step 1, 2, and 3 are in the direction of keeping, you know, your son at home in a part-time job, that's not going to help you achieve the goal that you want.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes we have to do more research on a little bit of detective work on what we really do want.
Okay.
Does that make sense, kind of? I know that's not the answer you're looking for.
It makes more sense, yeah. So the brain is doing more thinking about what the change you want to see. Mm-hmm. And then I guess the next step is to follow through on the action steps.
Yeah, I mean...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but like I was saying earlier, it's not, you know, again, we don't, I mean, when we're in coaching calls and when we're coming from a coaching perspective, you know, we believe that every single one of us on this call has all the answers already. We just have to figure out how to find them, right? You know, we come to this, you know, fully formed and with all the wonder and joy and amazingness that makes each one of you, you, and the same is true for our kids to some extent. And so sometimes the journey happens in between the calls, and the challenge is taking that step back and realizing it. Because Jane, if you think back 2 years ago when you first started coming to the program, and all, I mean, look at how far your son has come in 2 years. Sometimes it's hard to see the progress.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of things that you were concerned weren't going to happen actually happened just fine. And that's because you worked hard and he worked hard and change happened. But it wasn't this big, like, lightning bolt. You know, it took time. It took work. And it was probably slow enough in evolution that, or involving that it, you know, you don't see it until you look back and think, oh. Now, I look at my 15-year-old now, and I was getting my 5-year-old dressed this morning. I have, for those of you who don't know me, I have 5 kids. I have a son that has ADHD and high-functioning autism. I have a daughter with ADHD and bipolar disorder and Tourette. And then I have a son with just ADD. And the 5-year-old and the 21-year-old don't have any specific diagnoses that I'm aware of yet. But my 15-year-old is the one that brought me to this work. And when he was in third grade, I was still dressing him. You know, I was still getting him dressed, physically dressing him in bed to get him out the door so I could get everyone to school on time, including him. And
yeah, getting my fourth grader dressed.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And I'm not dressing him now. He's 15. You know, I mean, and he does almost everything himself. But, you know, even when he was in fifth grade and I wasn't dressing him anymore, it still didn't feel like we'd made a lot of progress until I took a look back at third grade and thought, wow, okay, change is happening.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that's helpful at all.
It's exciting. No, it is. It's exciting, actually, to look and see, oh, okay, there's been some great.
He graduated from high school.
Oh, wait a minute. I took him out of high school and homeschooled him, but I also did send him to the community college, and he did attend his classes, and with a lot of support from me, he did pass his classes, and I awarded the high school diploma because I homeschooled him, but he did get 19 college credits to work towards that. So, yeah, I'm just like the other woman who said high school was just not, he's not academic, it's way, way, way too stressful, and I can't see my child going through that kind of thing and just failing and failing and fighting. So the homeschool worked out beautifully for our case. Yeah, so
well,
we've
there
got,
you go.
You know, yeah. And I feel guilty about it because I see some kids that have trouble and they still graduate high school, and I took Joshua out of that scene, but I just felt like it's not fun for a kid to have to suffer like that, you know?
No. Jane, you're an amazing example. I mean, my gosh, you're absolutely amazing. There's not many moms that would be willing to do it, let alone follow through with it. And you did both. I mean, that's phenomenal. So when you're talking about not being able to find action steps, I mean, that's like that's like running a marathon in an action step. I mean, to me, that's amazing. That is absolutely amazing.
Well, thank you. That helps get the
good
validation.
Yeah, I mean, so you're making a difference, you know, whether you recognize it or not. And he is growing and changing and doing incredibly well. I mean, and I say that for everybody too, right? I mean, you guys know your kids better than literally anyone else. We're going to have to advocate for our kids and step in and homeschool maybe or whatever the answer is, you know, for probably more years than we had intended to or that we necessarily wanted to. But I'd rather know that now, you know. And the relationship at the end of the day, and then Jane and I have talked about this before too, at the end of the day, your relationship with your kid matters a whole lot more because that's what helps them with their self-esteem, and that's what helps them be okay with who they are. And so if you can maintain that or retain that by helping them make the choice to get homeschooled or whatever it is, I'm not being an advocate for homeschooling necessarily. I'm just saying, you know, that is, you know, your kid better than anyone. Trust your gut. Yeah, the relationship. Yeah. Now I've talked way too much. I'm sorry.
Good.
Okay. Let's see. All right. So we are almost at the top of the hour, and I apologize because we're going to end up running out of time. Let's think. I don't know that we're going to get to action steps today. I'm trying to, if you guys want to take some time to look through the questions at the end. So Corey, typically what we do is we do, you know, we pick a game, we do a little bit of talking around the topic for the day. And then I try to keep it as interactive as possible. And then we try to get back to everybody with some laser coaching or some follow through on whatever they took aim on. And then at the end of each call, we do a checkout, and there's questions at the end of each section in the workbook that you'll see. And if it's just a small group, I'll ask everybody to check out, like to go through each one of the questions. But since there's a lot of us here, it's difficult to get around to everyone, but it's important, I think, to at least answer one or two of the questions before we check out. And granted, we didn't get a lot of process stuff done today in terms of what we took aim on or any laser coaching around it. But I think sometimes that's okay, because just the, trust me on this, the action of taking aim sets our brains on this path of really looking for the underlying cause and the underlying change, or and the, you know, the very present change. So it's a subtle shift in the way we approach our kids and their situations to help us find a place of empathy if we haven't been able to find it already, and to help identify you know, kind of that need behind the need. So trust me on this, that change is going to take place between now and the next time we get together, which is next week, whether you are able to put an action step into place or not, because this in and of itself may be the action that's needed to make that change come to life. So the questions that we ask are, what did I focus on or pay most attention to today? What's my clarity, my aha, my takeaway from today? That's the one that makes me think of a TV show. Probably because I want it all to be an Oprah moment, but it's not. some people do have Oprah moments, but, I mean, it's rare. What's a realistic action step for me to take? And that can just be, you know, I'm just going to sit back and see what happens. Or I need more information. I need to know what she's really thinking about this, or what she really wants to have happen, or what I really feel about that. That's an action step. Trying to get more information, that takes some action. And then how do I set myself up for success with this action? I mean, it's one thing to say I'm gonna sit down and have a conversation with her about this, but I'm traveling for the next 2 weeks, so I'm not going to be able to do it. You know, how do you set yourself up for success? Do you need to make an appointment with your child? Do you need to make an appointment with yourself? You know, what is realistic that might happen? What could get in the way? So those are all questions that we ask ourselves at the end of these sessions. And you can continue to ask yourself the questions between now and the next time we get together. But I'd like each of you to answer one. Choose the one that you, you know, that resonates the most for you. And then just jump in and tell me what question you chose and what your answer is. And then we'll kind of wrap it up for the day.
All right, so Melanie here. What I focused on was the taking aim and the conversation around taking aim. And what I really like about taking aim is it also gives you clarity about what you're not working on.
Ah. Say more about that.
Well, if we can't possibly solve all the problems coming at us. So if I'm focusing on, you know, managing how my kiddo reacts when I need to leave, then, you know, I'm not really going to get too upset about her food choices or her, you know, video choices, her screen time choices this week, because I really want to save the energy for working with this one issue that kind of spills over into a lot of other things. And I don't need to be pushing her anxieties or making things harder for her in some of these other realms. Because their turn will come, because eventually those will be the big problems at the top of the heap.
Yeah, that's great. Perfect. Thank you. Wonderful. Very good point. Who's next? I'm
happy to call on you. Okay. So I'm not going because I just lost my thought. So I'll back up.
That's okay. Story of my life. Don't worry about it. All right. Maria?
That was me.
Sorry, Deb.
That said that.
Lori, what are you thinking?
Well, I'm thinking that my takeaway is that, taking aim is a first step. So, I mean, really that I'm doing something. That's my takeaway, mm-hmm. that even by just thinking about something to take aim, it's a step forward. And I like that it, what others have said, that, it's overwhelming to think about all the issues and problems that we want to fix and that we want to, find better ways to manage. But by just focusing on one thing, it is an action step. It is something that you're doing. So that, just makes me feel a little more hopeful.
Good. Good. And sometimes it's nice to just know that, the stuff that happens in your house happens in other people's houses too.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's always nice to know we're not alone. Definitely feel it. Yeah. Jane, what about you?
Well, I like that sentence you said because, the things that happen in other people's houses happen in yours too, because you don't hear it out in the world. Nobody says, oh, my son took a lacrosse stick and knocked out the chandelier. But, if I had known that, I wouldn't have been like, my son punched. Now he's not doing it now because he's learned to calm himself, but punched holes in the walls, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. That was his frustration, and just bam, big holes in the wall. So anyway, that is kind of an aha, plus the fact that for me to stop looking at what's negative, what needs to change, and just to sit in the comfort of knowing he's made some big strides, and maybe he just needs to enjoy feeling good and about himself at this moment in time.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, Maria. Yeah. Corey or Maria? You already went, Corey. I'm sorry. Maria.
Okay. I was waiting. I didn't want to be.
Sorry.
No, so sure anyway, I'm going to. So my clarity is that. I can be aware of what her routine is, but there needs to be buy-in for her in order to want to make the changes. And I don't want to force my agenda on hers. So last night I was trying to hurry things up, and I started to shut off these little twinkly lights she has. And she goes, no, I kind of go through a process where I shut this off. And I said, okay, I had it shut off. I turned it back on. I said, okay, I respect that. And I said, good night. I love you. And I walked out the door, because if that's her
good
way of
you.
Winding down, then
yeah.
I don't want to take that away from her. If she's developing these little things, then, I have to respect that and not just, play overbearing mommy and say, no, you're going to do it my way, because that's not who I want to be, and I just need to not be too anxious,
And that's so huge that she recognizes that that's a process that she needs. I mean, just the fact that she's able to A, identify this as my process for winding down, and B, verbalize that to you, this is how I do this, and then it's amazing that you're able to step back and honor that too. I mean, that's a really beautiful thing right there. That's huge. If she can recognize and express those things, then that in and of itself is a really big deal with her ability to try to figure out next steps in terms of sleep and really anything else. So that's amazing.
Yes. So, that's where I'm at right now.
Good. I love that. We lost Rosie. So, I think that that's probably it for today. So we actually have class next week. So this is one of those weird times of year where we actually have back-to-back weeks. I will not be here. It will either be Diane or Elaine. My daughter is a freshman in college, and we are going to visit her for parents weekend, and I will be on a plane. So it'll either be Elaine or Diane that'll be here next week, but we will have a session next next Friday at noon Eastern time. So hope to see you guys there, and I will listen to the recording later since I won't be there. But anyway, thanks so much. Holler if you have questions, post in the Facebook group, shoot me an email, text me if anything pops up between now and then, and have a great weekend, everybody.
Can I ask you a question off the real quick?